with your Christmas of white. But I have a blue, 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 blue Christmas.
Welcome back to RBKD. Yes, we're already playing Christmas music, so get over it if it doesn't put you in the holiday mood. But yes, the rules are that you can decorate, use your Christmas decorations inside and outside, and you can start playing Christmas music once Thanksgiving is here. Some people's tradition actually is on Thanksgiving, they start putting up decorations with the family.
That was ours.
Oh, was that it for you guys?
That was ours, yeah.
Okay, see, I didn't know
that.
Tree
went up. Thanksgiving night.
Okay, there you go.
And usually the
next
day,
cool,
kind of finish stuff off.
That's pretty cool because the family's together
off.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well get it done then.
I loved it, and I wanted to put them up as early as possible. I love Christmas lights. I love Christmas. I love the whole thing about it. I like cold weather, so
yeah,
I love
like
football
weather.
When it really counts.
It's true.
Everything about it is like Saturday, I was loving it. I was loving the weather, too.
Yeah, the weather was perfect for sitting in watching some football.
That's what I was doing.
It was perfect weather to sit around and watch football.
I was all about it.
Yeah. No, it was. It was one of the best college football weekends I can remember in a long, long time. And we'll get into it here because we just had a ton of different games. We can start with, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. I'm sorry, Oklahoma Sooners fans. I mean, disrespect you there.
Hey,
but
this game, that's the way it plays out.
No, Bedlam was, it to me, it lived up to the hype. It was as good as anticipated. I didn't expect it to be as sloppy. It was a little sloppier than I thought. But, man, Oklahoma State's defense, if not for, you know, the muff punt, and by both teams actually had one of those. But there were just some costly turnovers. You know, Spencer Sanders, actually, he made some plays, but he had some Spencer Sanders-like mistakes, too. But, man, that Oklahoma State team is gritty. And even when they were down, they were down double digits.
They were down nine
in the second half. Close to double digits in the second half. And, man, ended up coming all the way back to win that game in decisive fashion. The defense, top five defense. Oklahoma did not score a touchdown in the second half.
They did. And Malcolm Rodriguez, and I'm looking at their numbers right now just to try to remind me of some of the guys and some of the plays they made. Harper's a damn good player, too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of these guys, too, that you can tell they didn't come in as linebackers. You've talked about this extensively. They didn't come in at whatever they're playing, but they're athletes, and they kind of mold them to that defense. But it's a smart, smart defense. You know, Kennedy Brooks went off. For if you actually look at the numbers,
he
averaged more than six a carry. He had 139 yards.
Yeah, now they broke some.
They did.
They broke
and a
some
lot
runs.
Of that was the first half. Second half, Oklahoma couldn't do anything. Jim Knowles made the adjustments. Caleb Williams gave them some stuff through the air, but it was not enough. And that's what allowed Oklahoma State to outscore them 13-0 in the fourth quarter to come back and win that thing. Now it was a hell of a game. It was fun. It was Bedlam in terms of the score. You usually get a higher scoring game, but like you said, it really wasn't all offense. I mean, this was about defense, and this was about mistakes.
Yeah, Oklahoma State essentially gifted Oklahoma 23 points. They had a roughing the punter call. Remember, that roughing the punter ended up giving Oklahoma extra downs. I think they scored a touchdown on that drive. That was the interception. That was the safety.
About
the safety that Oklahoma State gave up too, and then the muffed punt.
Which actually lucked out because that could have been a touchdown.
Yeah, and
that ball's loose, and they just jump on it on the end zone.
And you're right. Remember Presley, the wide receiver for Oklahoma State, number 80, was actually a really good player. Actually, he made a lot of good plays against Texas. He gave them a boost because he had the kickoff return for a touchdown right after, I believe, they give up the muff punt.
Muff punt, right.
So essentially, it cancels each other out.
Yeah. No, you look at that and you go, he goes 100. Well, yeah, but he had just given him seven.
They had just, yeah. So it was, man, it was just one of those back and forth games. But it was, I'll give Oklahoma State a ton of credit. They remained poised. And I think this is a credit to, you know, Mike Gundy. This was, they talked about even physically how Mike Gundy removed himself from the actual sideline, like where the coaches and the players are. That he is not only, I think it's kind of symbolic. That not only that he's literally removed himself, but figuratively, we talk about how this is a different Mike Gundy team.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the Mike Gundy teams of old, which are offensively centric and based around how prolific the offense is. It's a much well-rounded formula, right? They've pretty much taken taking a lot of the decisions, the risky decisions out of the hands of Spencer Sanders, because they want to run the football and control the game. Their defense is stellar, built on positionless football. They also have some of the best special teams in the country. They now have a larger margin for error with this style of play, rather than the Mike Gundy prolific, you know, space and pace offensive style of play. Because back in that day, they really didn't have much of a margin for error because they were a one-phase football team.
That's a good way to put it.
The offense was their bread and butter. Now, I mean, they can beat you with field position and hitting yards. They can beat you with defense. And they can beat you by just running the ball and controlling the game. They got different ways they can beat you now.
Yeah, Mike Gundy was 2-14 against Oklahoma going into this game. He's now 3-14.
That's ugly.
But this is the only one of the three that really wasn't him.
It
was 2011 and 2014, right, when they had really good years.
Exactly.
And they had good defenses. I'm not saying that they didn't have a nice complementary football team, but it was more about that Gundy offense, and this is completely different. This is about field position, running the football. They were able to do that. Spencer Sanders did give them some good yards on the ground.
He's a playmaker when they need him.
And
I know he threw 2 picks in the game. I get it. But, you know, we've talked about Spencer Sanders for years, how he's been high risk, high reward forever. He is now starting to, you know, minimize some of the mistakes, and they are mitigating the risk of him by running the football more. And now he's just making plays when they need him to make plays, and he did in that game. Had that rushing touchdown. Spencer Sanders is a big reason why Oklahoma State is going to the Big 12 title game. Don't mistake it. And I never would have thought I would have said that.
I know.
When the year started, I thought he was going to be the liability that brought them down. I love the defense. Been talking about them forever. I didn't think Spencer Sanders would play this good. And we didn't know about Jaylen Warren either.
No.
He came out of nowhere. Was he a transfer from, I forget exactly where he's from.
Utah State, too?
It's something like that. But just we didn't know he was going to end up being
Abram Smith, a workhorse. Utah State, the linebacker.
You might be right about that. Yeah, linebacker turned running back. I'm not sure. I know he transferred. I'm not sure exactly where he's from. But we didn't think Jaylen Warren was going to – we didn't know Jaylen Warren was going to be that effective. Now he's one of the best running backs in the conference, but also in the country. Legit.
He is. And that defense was – look, yeah, that was the question heading into the year, was Spencer Sanders.
It wasn't
the defense.
Wasn't
he felt like the defense was going to be really good. Yeah, he was at Utah State. I was right about that.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Man, okay. Yeah, nobody thought he was going to be that good. I got to go back and look at his Utah State numbers and find out if he was that effective. But he fits perfectly in this system in the way they use him. So they got to play Baylor in the Big 12 title game. And Baylor, by the hair on their chin. Escape Lubbock was that in Texas Tech or was that in Baylor? I'm not sure.
That was in Waco.
It was in Waco. Okay. Well, they escaped that game against Tech with a win. That was a close one too. And Tech had their shot to win that game, and the second string quarterback who was starting in place of Bohannon being out, he ends up going down in the game too.
Yeah.
He took a shot. I mean, you got to give him credit because he went in there. Man, just unabashed, if you will. He did not protect himself enough, and he was knocked out of the game for a little while. I think it just knocked the wind out of him. But they had their third-string quarterback in there. Man, Baylor, no excuses for Baylor. They just keep winning games despite all the adversity. That is a team that knows how to handle adversity really well.
Yeah, they're a lot like Oklahoma State. I don't think they're as good, but they're a lot like them.
Yep.
And now the question is, what do they do with the backup quarterback? I doubt Bohannon will be ready to go for the Big 12 championship game as they match up against an Oklahoma State team. But there's a lot of similarities because the sum is more than the individual parts. They're just they kind of win in all three phases. And when one phase is down a little bit, the other one will pick them up. Yeah, Abram Smith was a Baylor guy, linebacker, just went to running back.
Yeah, and he I think he's going to be okay, but he was hurt late in that game against Tech, too. But I'm sure he's going to be fine for championship Saturday.
Yeah, no, Ebner gave them some yards. Smith gave them 117. He was injured. You're right about that. I'm not sure if we'll be ready to go. But good win for Baylor as they end up beating Tech. Michigan, Ohio State was the game, and it lived up to it, finally. And I was even laughing throughout the week as they were trying to do the setup on TV and doing promotional stuff, and it was, this is the game.
Oh, yeah, the game.
This has not been the game. This has been an ass-kicking between two rivals with one dominating. And so it was good to see Michigan surprise the hell out of me, but to see Michigan put that together. And I was talking about transitive stuff earlier. Think about Michigan State, Michigan, right? Think about Michigan State, Ohio State, and then how that completely flips with, you would think, the way Michigan and Michigan State played, and they're very similar. They want to run the football. They want to establish a line of scrimmage. The way Ohio State dismantled Michigan State,
right.
Michigan said, no, we're going to shove it down your throat.
Yeah, stylistically, you'd have thought that matchup would have been advantageous to Ohio State. You pointed out the weather definitely played a role. Don't know how much of a role. Definitely played a role in slowing down that really high-flying offense for Ohio State. You know, with those three NFL wide receivers, potentially multiple first-round picks.
Dude, some of the catches they made were stupid.
They all had one.
They all had a sick,
crazy catch.
Was Garrett Wilson the one where it's like on the guy's back?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure who had that one. You're right. Because I remember the one you're talking about,
Smith
too.
And Jigba had one.
I remember the guy. I remember telling my wife, babe, they all have one of those circus catches, Cirque du Soleil catches. That is a freakish group. But you're right. Michigan didn't play Ohio State's game. They made Ohio State play their game. And Ohio State wanted nothing to do with a Michigan-style football game where they wanted to play a slobber knocker style of football. And that's Jim Harbaugh style of football. And that team won that game playing Jim Harbaugh style of football. Got to appreciate that. And we never thought it would. You know, We've been trying to get, or at least we've been asking Michigan to modernize that offense for years. Bringing in Josh Gattis was his attempt to do that, but he wanted to have a hybrid version of some modernized offense with still his old school physical style of play. Didn't want to give that up as the identity of the team, and give Jim Harbaugh credit. He didn't sell out. His identity. He wanted to still have a hard-nosed, blue-collar football team that could just beat the hell out of it. Stomp a mud hole in you if they wanted to. That's what they did to Ohio State. Stomp the mud hole in them.
That's what they did.
I mean, they just ran down their damn
throat. That's the whole funny thing, is that Harbaugh made some of the changes, and Gattis was certainly part of that. But at the end of the day, or the end of this year in that game, this was old-school Jim Harbaugh.
It was.
This was, no, we are going to beat you up front. Did you hear his post-game?
No, what'd he say? Oh, I know he had something snarky to say. What'd he say?
Hey, man, Harbaugh's back.
And what'd he say?
He's back. He said, you know, I know some people think they hit a home run because they're standing on third base.
Oh, but, some people are born on third base and they thought they hit a triple.
It was a shot at Ryan Day saying, you took over a program that Urban Meyer had set up.
Wow.
I had to completely rebuild this.
Ooh.
No, it was an obvious shot at Ryan Day.
Man.
And remember, Ryan Day had some statements, Big 12 or Big 10 Media Day.
Shots fired.
Where he had kind of said, oh, we don't think about them.
Rivalry, you know what? In this rivalry, they should be taking shots at one another.
They should.
It's good to have this back. Yeah, that's when it's at its best, man.
I'm glad you're back,
trash
baby.
Trash talk, baby. I like it.
Now the question is, can Michigan beat Iowa? Iowa can muck things up. They're not playing great football right now. I get that.
Yeah, and their offense, I think Michigan's just a better football team. I'm with you. Their defense and special teams, Iowa is, they can really make life difficult on you because they can win field position. They can win a lot of hidden yardage from you. And that defense can force turnovers. So if you're turnover prone,
better watch out.
So I think you got to make good decisions against them. But over four quarters, Michigan's a better football team. No question.
I've been telling you about Aiden Hutchinson and then also David Ajabo. Ajabo had a sack in this game. But when you got two first round picks and Hutchinson, a top five, top 10 pick coming off the edge, Aiden had three sacks. It put some pressure on that Ohio State pass game. No, he's the real deal.
And
they played much better. They had not been able to deal with the pace and space type offense of Ohio State. And, yeah, I mean, Smith and Jigba had 11 catches for 127. Wilson had 10 catches for 119. They didn't shut those guys down, but they limited them. And they limited the big plays because Ohio State, Rod, is like one of these NBA teams.
That was the key.
They can go on these 21-point runs in 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, that was the key, is that they never allowed Ohio State to get that big. I mean, they had a couple. But they never allowed them those easy scores.
Not like they usually have.
Not they usually do. Usually, they get multiple easy scores on consecutive scoring drives, usually.
Right.
And that's when they go on a run. Ohio State never had a run.
Do you know what the longest play they had?
There was no run. What was it?
39 yards.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They never had that explosive, easy score, and then they never had that run where they outscored their opponent, you know, in a 14-0 or 17-0. They didn't have that kind of run. Michigan answered every time. Because Michigan controlled
the
game.
That's the biggest thing.
But then
you're
Michigan
right.
Answered.
Michigan answered every
right?
time,
they
and they answered pretty quickly.
Yeah, they would score. Oh, man, it's going to be a good game. And then Michigan would go right down the damn field. They need to go, okay, well, Now Ohio State's got to answer. And Ohio State, they just couldn't answer enough because Michigan's pass rush was, like you said, it was hellacious. And that's how they flipped the script, right? Usually it's the Bosa's or, you know, Chase Allen that we're talking about
from
Ohio
Young.
Chase Young, sorry, Chase Allen. Chase Young we're talking about from Ohio State. But now you're talking about, you know, Aiden Hutchinson and how much of an impact player he was. And he was. Unbelievable.
Yeah, impressive stuff. Would have been a great game to watch at Pluckers. If you're looking to watch any game at Pluckers, including tonight, you get to Pluckers.com. Find a location near you. You got 7 locations in the Austin area. DoorDash, that way you never have to miss a minute of the game. Don't have to get off your couch. And you can order online, which is really cool. So you can do that at Pluckers.com. Go pick it up if you want. If you don't want to wait in line when you go to a Pluckers, you can download their Pluckers Club app. That way you can virtually save your place in line, not have to deal with that hassle, but still go enjoy the awesome environment that is Pluckers. They've got the best wings in town. It's the best sports bar in town. They've got them in H-Town. They've got them in Dallas. So if you're in the Metroplex, you can get online and check that out. Or you can get online to check them out here in Austin. 7 locations for Pluckers. Pluckers, if you don't like our wings, we will give you the bird. Yeah, those two were the best games, but you really had a nice, just the way the day played out. You just had competitive games and games that had a lot on it all the way through. I mentioned North Carolina State before, which was a lot of fun to watch. Georgia, Georgia Tech didn't have that. Alabama, Auburn gave us a surprise. You can never, I guess, underestimate the Iron Bowl, but that Alabama offense to look like they did, they were scoreless through 3 quarters.
Yeah. No, that was, it was a
97 or 98 yard drive.
Yeah, touchdown drive to end up.
And I guess that'll be end up being his Heisman drive, but, and he
it
made some good
be.
Plays, but that was not a Heisman drive to me. I'm sorry. I feel like we're just trying to force something here.
Well, yeah, you got to have a Heisman winner.
No, you don't. Don't give one out this year.
Well, they're going to give one out.
And I'm giving Georgia the championship before we even play a playoff.
Now, that I agree with. I don't see anybody close to playing with Georgia, but I'm with you.
Let's at least play that out.
They don't have, and there's no defensive player this year good enough to win it, but I'm with you. I don't think anybody this year has stood out and distinguished themselves as the best player in college football. It'd be a hell of a discussion because I couldn't tell you who the best player in college football is right now.
I couldn't either. No,
I don't know.
I don't think there is one this year.
I think you're right.
There hadn't one that's, at least that has stood out so much. USC, where Lincoln Riley's going, that actually ended up giving us a game later on in the night as BYU ends up beating them 35-31. USC has some talent. As I'm watching USC and thinking about Texas, USC is a lot more talent than Texas. College football talent on the field.
I don't disagree with you. I haven't watched a ton of USC this year, but, I mean, USC, there's always talent there.
Always.
They got enough talent to win 6 games. I'll say the same thing about at Texas. They got enough talent to make a bowl game.
I agree with that. And then finally, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Wisconsin, they had been beaten up on some bad opponents. I've been so far off on Wisconsin this year. When they've been good, I haven't been betting on them. When they haven't been, I have been betting on them. But Minnesota wins that thing 23-13. Wisconsin had a chance to go to the Big Ten championship game and lays an egg.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and Wisconsin, I'm with you. They are really tough to try to predict. Because you know Wisconsin, they're playing a certain style of football.
Yes.
That's why I think certain matchups are just bad for Wisconsin because of the style of football they want to play. But really, they have to play.
Right.
They really have to play a certain style.
Yeah, it's more that they have to play that. Quickly, too, Iowa ends up beating Nebraska. That line was funny because we had never seen a team that had lost that many games be a favorite over a ranked team.
Did we figure out why?
In some lines. Because Nebraska plays people really tight, and people weren't buying Iowa.
They do, but
so Nebraska finishes 3-9. They lost all 9 by single digits.
Yeah.
No one's ever done that.
That's unprecedented. Yeah,
so they weren't blown out in one game.
Yeah, but as
Longhorn, but you're 3-9.
As Longhorn fans know, that can be very frustrating.
Oh yeah, no, there's some Tom Herman
games
in that.
Yeah, when you're losing a lot of one-score
Herman
games.
Did it at a higher level, but definitely something there. All right, we'll get back. We'll talk. We'll give our final thoughts on Lincoln Riley. Also, some of the other stuff that's going on. SMU, TCU, they filled their spot. Billy Napier finally found a spot. Coaching carousel in full turn. Oh, classic here, John.
Jingle Bell?
Who's doing this?
Your boys. Hall and Oates.
Whoa!
Man, see? Look at that. See, everybody sells out for a Christmas album. You got to.
Well, certainly Hall and Oates. Some people would say they sold out for their original music.
Hey,
not me, though. And not
on.
Me. I'm a huge Hall and Oates fan.
I like Hall and Oates a little bit. Come on now.
A little bit. I like how that shortened up.
Well, no. I mean, I have like 3 or 4 songs, so I can't say I love Hall and Oates.
What do you got?
I like 3 or 4
songs. What do you got? Man Eater?
You got Man Eater on there. Rich Girl.
Rich Girl is Rich Girl's in. Yeah, it is.
I got a couple of them too. But I got some jams, more of the popular ones.
Okay.
You know what they say? You can't sell out if no one's buying. So there you go.
How
that is true.
Dare you.
It's a great point.
How dare you?
It ain't selling out if nobody's buying.
Probably accurate. Some people are saying that Lincoln Riley sold out. Rob, what's your take on this narrative that he's scared of the SEC?
I don't know if that's the right way to say it. I think he's working smarter,
harder.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he wants to be the apex predator in an ecosystem like the Big 12, and he can replicate that in the Pac-12 with USC. If he goes to the SEC with Oklahoma, there's no way he's going to be the uncontested apex predator. Now, 1 year, you may be the best team, but that's not going to always be the case. Here, dude, in the Big 12, Oklahoma won the Big 12 14 years. How long has the Big 12 been around? It's 96?
96.
So you're talking about 25 years? And they won it 14 of those years?
Yeah.
And they won
And didn't
six.
Even start off hot.
Didn't even start off hot. Come on. Right?
I mean, Oklahoma in 96, I guess
they
about 2000.
They don't come around to 2000, but it's still like
around.
5 years right. after the conference. They come in 2000 in their second year, and after that, they never look back. They won it with 9 different starting quarterbacks, 6 straight Big 12 titles. And I think Lincoln Riley's saying, do I really want to give up this type of comfort and advantage? No, I think he wants to work, you know, like I said, smarter, not harder. Going to SEC is going to be hard, man. That's going to be tough on everybody.
It will be. Oh,
It's going to be tough.
If you want to phrase it as he's scared, well,
you can say that.
You can say that, but I'm kind of with you. I think he's more looking at, I think it's a combination of the expectations there compared to Oklahoma. I think the Oklahoma expectations, or at least the constant, hey, when are we going to just get to that next level? The next level is winning the national championship.
It is.
And it was getting that defense fixed.
Yep.
And I think he was getting that defense fixed, but the move to the SEC, just competing with what that is, it's going to be a hell of a lot easier at USC. That plays into it. The recruiting base plays into it.
Mm-hmm.
The expectations, yeah, they're really big at USC, but there's going to be a little bit of, there's going to be a period of, oh my God, we're just glad to have you.
Yeah. No, and let's be honest, I mean, California. I mean,
yeah.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
LA.
Yeah.
As opposed to Norman. Not saying football wise, that doesn't matter, but it does because that's recruiting. Recruiting, if you're recruiting and you're representing the city of Austin, like the University of Texas, as opposed to kind of having to sell Norman, that's an easier job. It's easier for me to sell the beaches and, as my man Brooks said, the women of the West Coast.
I thought you were saying that with beaches. I thought you were just saying it with an accent.
Oh, no.
This whole time you've been talking about
I've been talking about the beaches.
The
like
sand and the water?
Yes, the beautiful
I
beaches.
I thought you were saying beaches. I'm rusty on a Monday.
You are rusty. You thought I was going there?
Well, one, I like the accent. It's like, is this Jamaican?
The beaches. Life's a beach.
And then you marry one. Remember that?
Remember
that t-shirt? You'd see, life's a beach, and then you marry one.
Oh, man.
And she's got a t-shirt that says, I'm with dumbass,
I'm with stupid.
So I'm with stupid. Yeah.
Dude, that's
great.
So
you guys are saying the marriage is going well.
Oh, man. Wow. Well, it's easier to sell the smoking hot ladies of California and the beaches of California.
Our man A.B. pointed that out.
Yeah, man, Brooks pointed that out.
Shout out to A.B.
I agree with Brooks. He's right about that.
Yeah,
that's something you don't consider
right.
enough of, but it is. But like I said, it's just, and it's, I don't see his quality of life is about to improve. Sorry, Oklahoma. I know I'm not dissing you or anything, but
no,
living in L.A. and Hollywood as opposed to living in Norman, Oklahoma, we get it. It's just, come on. It's just
and trust us as someone who lives in a much more desirable spot than Norman and recruits to it as Texas does. There are downsides to that, too.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Because we have to, we've got to go through, we should be going through every 4-star and 5-star that commits here like you would a little league coach. I need a serious background check.
No, you're right, man.
Right?
No, the entitlement we worry about here, distractions.
Serious background check.
Yeah.
So why are you coming here?
Yeah.
Because I like Austin. How much you like it? What exactly do you like about it?
Yeah. No. Now I'm with you. Did you come? Do you
setting up drug traps for him? Tell me if he goes all in. If he goes all in, we can't give him a ride.
But you're right, though. The type of player you recruited to Oklahoma is going to be a different type of player than you're going to recruit to USC.
Yeah.
It just is. That's just the reality of it. So I'm with you. That's here at Texas, why do we always get the 4 and 5 stars that have entitlement issues and that lack work ethic and are distracted by South
by
Southwest?
That's part of the evaluation.
That's part of the evaluation, like you pointed out. So I agree with you, man. I know you're half joking but half serious.
I'm more being serious.
I think you're right on the money there. I think that is a concern when you're in Hollywood and you're recruiting to Hollywood. This is the Hollywood of Texas. And it's really hard to recruit good football players to the Hollywood of Texas, the ones with the right attitude and the right mindset.
Yep.
Now, they're good players, but when they come here, somehow they're corrupted and they don't. Their focus seems to be off a little bit when they come here as opposed to going other places, and they get the right 4 and 5-star players. So something's off there, but it's in the culture.
So
you got to build the right culture.
This had obviously been in the works. We had heard rumors about maybe Lincoln Riley going to LSU. Joe Castiglione, who's the AD, I'm hearing different stuff kind of from people that cover it, said that he was, one, incredibly pissed, was caught off guard. He did even say today when they had the press conference, we're here today, surprised by yesterday, but with unlimited excitement for tomorrow. They're holding their tongue because they have to. The relationship between he and Lincoln Riley and then Lincoln's relationship with Harrah's, the president, it was not that good. That's one of those that, as we're finding out with all this stuff, this last year, there was other stuff going on behind the scenes, which is probably why a lot of their beat reporters and insiders
knew something was going down.
Do you remember with the media thing when he cut that off?
Yeah, everybody knew something was going down.
They knew something was going down.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It's just...
Or it wasn't a real copacetic relationship.
It's unfortunate that, yeah, that Oklahoma wouldn't make sure that their prized, you know, head coach, you know, the prince that was promised, that he wasn't all in on the move to the SEC too.
Right.
And that he was
to go to another school, I understand maybe taking an NFL job. I think that hurts a lot more. Because also, we're talking about two of the top four programs
totally
of all time in USC and Oklahoma.
Totally agree.
And what do I always talk about when you hire, Rod? It recalibrates the value and measurement of a job and a program.
Yep.
And for Oklahoma, this is...
United.
USC is a better job than we are?
Yes. That's what Lincoln Riley just said.
Yeah. And a lot of people nationally would say yes.
Even with you guys being at a really good
place. You're awesome. You're at a great spot.
And USC in a bad place, USC is a better
job. You're
a
top 4 program all time. Like, you have done so much. There's only so much you can do when you're competing against USC and LA and all that.
That's what I think Lincoln Riley sees. If you look at the upside for each program, let's assume that both programs will get to their zenith. Right, we'll get to their apex, whatever that may be for the individual programs.
Ceiling is higher in LA.
He says the ceiling is higher in LA, and I agree.
And it's probably easier to raise the ceiling, as you just pointed out. Not going to the SEC, recruiting base there.
Totally agree. Yep. That is
conference.
That is
are you
true.
Kidding me?
That
you
is
can
totally
dominate
true.
That conference.
Easier to raise the ceiling. Yep, I agree with that.
Think about Lincoln Riley. Almost probably every team he's had, maybe outside of this one, but every team he's had at Oklahoma before this. Wins the Pac-12 and does it this Pac-12 relatively easily.
Oh, yeah.
Oregon's your only threat.
I'm with you. Oregon's your threat. That's it.
And this is obviously a very beatable Oregon team.
Yeah. No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think you're right about that. I think maybe Lincoln Riley looked at it too and said, man, I'd be dominating the Pac-12 right now. And I'd have probably the number one recruiting class in the country because I get all of the West Coast kids to myself.
I'm holding back schemes and concepts and plays for the last month for the playoff because I can.
Yeah,
there's a lot. There's a lot of goes into it in terms of him being the offensive brain and saying this will relieve some stuff. And when you get Alex Grinch and Biedenboe and sure throw in Dennis Simmons, but really Biedenboe and Biedenboe and Biedenboe. Oh yeah, and Alex Grinch to come with you. Easy move.
Man, Benny Wiley, didn't he hitch his wagon to the right star?
He did, and man, he's got that. Who's his cheerleader? Who's part of the strength staff? Who we would see.
I can't remember.
Asian guy?
I
not Asian
remember.
Guy, Hispanic guy.
I can't remember. Yeah. But he got on that staff, was it 3-4 years ago? But
you know what I mean? So I saw him in the Oklahoma State game.
Did
You'd see him running down the sideline and going nuts, and he's the towel guy.
Yeah. Hey, man.
He's part of the Benny. I guess so.
Lincoln likes it. Yeah, I thought Lincoln actually would go.
I thought he made a mistake
of Benny Wiley, but turns out he's on board.
Now so Benny's a great dude. Now Benny's going to Benny. L.A. Hey, thoughts on Napier to Florida? This was obviously their guy.
It was a good move. I think it's a good move for Florida. He's one of those coaches who's done a damn good job. I don't know how the hell Louisiana lost to Texas this year. I just don't understand that.
Yeah.
That's a little black mark on his resume, but he's a hell of a coach.
Well, thank God, because we would seriously have idiots saying that Louisiana needs to be in the playoff.
Oh, you're right.
It's not fair to the little guy. Shut up. They don't need to be in the playoff.
You're right.
No, actually, they would.
Because they're 10-1 now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anyone's undefeated, there's like this group of people that...
You guess you should be in the playoffs.
Just, yeah, put them in the playoffs. It's not fair. Did you even watch them this year?
No.
No?
No.
But put them in the playoffs.
They're undefeated. Put them in the playoffs.
And then we can get to some of this tomorrow, but Dykes to TCU, we've been expecting that. It's almost like they probably behind the scenes saw if they could get a bigger hire, and it's like, nah, we're going to stick with Sonny Dykes.
I think LSU's freaking out right now. Because they probably should have ended up getting Billy Napier, but I know they were waiting on Lincoln Riley.
Were you
and
waiting?
They were probably, you know, waiting on Jimbo Fisher, and neither one of those guys is coming.
Were you waiting on that guy to ask you to prom? And you said no to some other ones.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so I don't know what LSU would do now. What is their contingency plan?
I don't know.
No Jimbo, no Lincoln, no Billy Napier.
Urban?
Matt Campbell?
Do you go really hard after Urban Meyer? I know that sounds crazy.
It does, but he might be looking for a way out.
Why don't you just do it and just hire Joe Brady? Give it a shot.
You can hire Joe Brady and just hire him a great staff around him. Like I'm talking about the actual...
A stupid staff.
Yeah, give him a great assistant head coach, somebody who's been a head coach for a long time, like that kind of stuff.
Well, and there's another name that we got to remember who's had a hell of a year, who's still going to be in the mix to
Dave
all this
Aranda.
Stuff. Dave Aranda.
Yeah, I don't know why, Matt. You know, I love me some Dave Aranda. I don't know why.
I think Aranda was your first choice
consideration.
For
consideration, yeah. Yeah, so...
All right, we still got tons to hit, man. We barely scratched it. We'll be back to back tomorrow, obviously, to hit all that stuff. And we'll be back to tell you what's on tap and what to watch for.
All right, welcome back to RBKD. Getting ready to wrap this thing up and put it in the oven. It's our last segment of the show. And I thank my man John Reichel for playing the Christmas jams all day long, putting us in the Christmas spirit. All right, it's about that time of year. We should all be in the giving spirit. That's what the Christmas spirit is all about. So I want to thank my man John for getting us all in the good mood. Also, you can follow us via Twitter. I'm at Ryan Babison, the Twitterverse. My man KD at Kevin Dunn 01. J.S. Reichel is from my man John Reichel. Back to Twist and Tweaking the Dallas. Texas basketball tonight. Matter of fact, the party is happening right now as we speak, or it did happen an hour ago.
I think it already happened.
And then they walked to Gregory Gym as, you know, fans and to team together.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's got to be some video of that. We'll look on Twitter.
I'm sure there will be.
And then they'll play at Gregory Gym tonight.
Yeah, student-only attendance are playing Sam Houston. I'm sure it'll be on LHN.
It's really cool.
And, yeah, just excited about them playing at the Greg, man. I always wanted this, so it'll be cool to see what it looks like.
Yeah, that is that's going to be really, really, really cool. So Gregory Gym should be a electric environment tonight and –
Pistol Pete played there.
At UTRVG? RGV?
No, played at LSU. LSU played at the Greg. Played Texas at Gregory Gym.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, oh, man, really? I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. So Gregory Gym back in the day was the basketball.
That was the spot.
The venue.
Durwood used to go watch some Texas games there.
Man, Durwood. Man,
yeah.
Back when Durwood was the name, was a cool name.
That was the right.
Durwood was picking up chicks back then.
Yeah,
they're like, your name's Durwood.
Sir, you're on the waiting list. Your name's Durwood. Okay, John Smith. I mean, can you give me a last name? I mean, you know how many Durwoods are on the waiting list?
How many Durwoods are out of here? Durwoods are a dime a dozen.
Yeah,
they're all over the place.
Who
man.
You meeting, Lucille? Oh, well, I mean, geez.
Oh, I'm a Gertrude. I'm a Gertrude, man. Estelle. Well, you mean any hot Gertrudes or Estelles these days?
No, you don't.
No, you do not.
You know what's funny? It's going to come back, though.
You think it will? Maybe I'll name my daughter Gertrude.
It'll come back. It'll come back just like fashion. Whenever I wore bell bottoms, like in the late 90s, my dad said, are you guys wearing You guys are wearing bell bottoms now?
No, you're right. Butterfly
it came back
collar.
In.
No, no,
it,
for a while, stuff like that. Fashion is very cyclical.
It definitely comes back. Only so much stuff you can do.
Yeah, my dad always makes fun of us. He's like, dude, we was doing stuff like that when I was, you know, we used to do stuff like that in the 70s. It was like, okay. Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. Good point. I don't know if the names are cyclical, but certainly fashion is.
All right, we talked about all the great football, and we still have more to get to tomorrow. We still have a lot of stuff we did not really hit or barely hit, so tomorrow will feel a lot like a Monday. Are you watching Seahawks, Redskins? Washington football team. How dare I?
You're going to get canceled.
Yeah.
Probably not. Let's be honest. I'm going to. Yeah, I may, but let's be honest, I probably won't.
I'll have it on. Unfortunately, Manning brothers are taking time off.
Oh, I'm definitely
spent too much time together at Thanksgiving.
I watch some Texas basketball.
That's what I'm watching.
Does LHN have the game on, right?
LHN will have the game on.
But you can listen to it.
You can listen.
Right here on the one.
That's all.
How about that, baby?
Look at this man right here.
Boo!
John, great job today.
Good job, John.
You did not.
Good
at
man.
Least you didn't sicken me with Christmas music. Do we have any listeners that got upset with it? Or?
Nope, only suggestions. So.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. People are ready to get in the Christmas spirit,
let's get in that Christmas spirit here. We still got a little bit of November left. Hey, Texas basketball coming up next. We appreciate everyone listening. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Don't forget, B&E will get you started at 6. For the All-American Rod Babers and for John Reichel, who's in a Christmas spirit, we say peace and hook 'em. Talk to you tomorrow.